to our portfolio committee meeting to receive the third quarter performance report of the department, hoping and waiting in anticipation that perhaps we are getting to the 4% of 93% or 7% of whatever percentage, so that they give us a 100% achievement, a kind of a report, so that we close this term with a bank. Would want to have that 100% division. Your report is in three phases, and all have summaries, as we had asked you long ago to say. You don't bring your 100 slides, you bring your summary to the portfolio committee so that you are able to deliberate on the report, because discussions are more worthy than a long presentation that will not make sense in the end. The straightforward one becomes the summary, and then you've got edit action plan, and you've got infrastructure report. So I would want a DG to line up your colleagues accordingly. The summary of the third quarter report, the infrastructure report, the audit action plan, if you're going to have different people presenting those. I would like to give you the platform, and also welcome the minister and the deputy to our meeting, hoping that in our next meeting, preceding the love letter which I got from the minister, we'll be able now to see the board members physically introduced to the portfolio committee, so that you are able to attach the name to a face, hoping our meeting with South African Tourism, you will have all your people with you to our meeting, because it's imperative that we see them. I presented your correspondence in our last meeting. So honorable members are aware that there's a board, finally, of South African Tourism. So it will be important that we see them. Without wasting time, I'm going to allow the minister to lead her team and the delegation from the Department of Tourism. Over to you.
Thank you. Good morning, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Please accept my apology for a few minutes to walk in here. I almost walked to the Marx building and then realized it here. So good morning to everyone, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the guidance, Chair, on how we present. We did have a meeting this morning, the DM and myself and the DG with all the DDGs, and we did discuss some of the issues for the third quarter, but I will give over to the DG to then just guide. Do you want to start with infrastructure first? Which one did you say you want to start with? The third quarter, yeah.
Thank you. Honourable Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, to the Honourable Members, the Minister and the Deputy Minister, as well as the colleagues. The presentation, Honourable Chairperson, that we are going to be making cetera. Please go to slide 4. Thank you. During this quarter, Honorable Chairperson, we were at 88.89%, almost 89% of our target. We had some targets that we had not fully achieved. We had some targets that we had done some significant work on. But some of them were work in progress. We will go through the details, Honorable Chairperson, of each of the individual programs. I will ask the respective DDGs to deal with the report. But before that, Honorable Chairperson, through the Minister, there is something that we had not brought to the attention, which I just realized now, of the Chairperson and the Committee. The Deputy Director General responsible for corporate management has requested for a lateral transfer from our department to the Department of Higher Education. So we have a vacancy in that space. Ms. Bengu is acting in that space as of last month. It was Ms. Rulani Ngwenya. So we have that. We have that particular vacancy in that particular space. So Ms. Bengu will do that particular presentation. All the other DDGs are still here, and they will then take their respective areas. We will, instead of finishing with Program 4, we will do Program 1, Program 2, then we will do Program 4, then come back to Program 3 so that we can then also finalize the presentation on infrastructure after that. Then, after which then we will go to the presentation on the audit action plan, which I will take the honourable members through, who together with the CFO. Then the CFO will do the financial part as well, and we'll do that audit action plan immediately after the financial part. Nomzamo.
Good morning, honourable members. For quarter 3 in program 1, there was relative success in implementing the target for that quarter, with 12 of the 14 targets for quarter 3 having been fully met. We were challenged by two areas relating to the vacancy rate as well as the appointment of women at SMS level, which the target is for that to be at 50%. The key issues there relate to, as we did have a vacancy rate at the time of 10.3%, we were also, the Minister of Public Service and Administration then issued a directive on cost containment measures related to the filling of vacancies and the wage bill, which affected our ability to replace staff as they exit. You therefore note that also as women at SMS exit the department, the same directive which affects our vacancy rate affects our ability to appoint women at SMS. Following that directive, the department had identified and prioritized positions and submitted to the MPSA as was requested, that where there are positions that cannot wait, we must write to MPSA to seek approval for her to proceed with those with that recruitment. The department identified those positions and submitted a list of 52 to the Minister of Public Service and Administration. Before we could receive a response from her in that regard, there was a second guidance provided by MPSA generally to the public service, the post that would have been advertised at the time that she issued that directive we could proceed with filling those. And for the Department of Tourism, that meant there were 26 positions that we could then proceed with filling. And therefore, there is a rollout of a recruitment drive within the organization to fill in those 26 positions. However, we have not received a response from MPSA either to say yes, proceed with the other 26 that was on the original list, or to not proceed. So either way, we do not have a response in that regard. Concurrent with the issue with us filling those 26 positions now, until rolling it out until the end of this month, there remains an issue with there is quite a large recruitment drive in the public service for those positions, and therefore you see attrition. Officials in the Department of State of Tourism exiting for various reasons, including resignation or taking other opportunities in other public service departments. So while we are closing the gap, we are with the 26 positions that we are allowed to fill, and we are making progress with that, there still is attrition in the organization at both, or rather at SMS level women, where six have exited currently, and therefore affecting our ability to meet that target of 50% women, as well as the vacancy rates, which was sitting at 10.3 at the end of quarter three. We are filling the 26, but the attrition remains an issue because there is still movement of officials for various reasons, including promotion outside the organization into other departments. Chair, that would be the two issues that we wanted to highlight in program three. In program one, the other targets were successfully delivered.
Jefferson, can I just give a breakdown of the six under attrition? We had one retirement, two resignations, and three transfers. Those are the breakdown of the six. Thank you very much, Minister Yeem, honorable members. In Program 2, Tourism Research Policy and International Relations, we had 14 targets for quarter three, and as DG highlighted in his introduction, we were able to meet all 14 targets. So in summary, we met all our targets in quarter three in program two. Thank you.
Thank you and good morning, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. Program 4 had 17 targets for quarter 3.
Can you speak from the mic?
Thank you. We had 17 targets in program 4. 15 were fully achieved. One was not fully achieved, though we had registered some significant work. One was not achieved at all. So our performance is at 88.24%. The two targets that were not achieved, the first one is the implementation of the resource efficiency cleaner production, where we are training, and we had anticipated that we would train 20 youth in finding solutions for resource efficiency. We had approached the Department of Trade and Industry for them to allow us to participate in their program, which is managed by the CSIR. We didn't get the response. We approached Treasury to appoint the NCPC to allow us to appoint them as a sole source. Treasury had those powers at that stage. Treasury said we must go on open tender. We did that on two occasions. The first occasion, our SCM processes were declared compromised. The second time, when we went for a tender, we received no bids. We went back to the NCPC, an organization under CSIR, and we were able to get more information in terms of the training that we wanted. It's an expert level training. We had done it a few years ago, the basic one, so we wanted to move this youth to expert level. So they had explained to us that they are the only institution. They have firstly developed the expert level training, and so far none of the training providers have been accredited. So they remain the only institution in the country to offer that course. We have since obtained approval to appoint them as a sole source. They have assured us, they have sent through a written authorization to that effect that they are only one. And we've got now an MOA that we are going to sign with them. Currently we are sending specifications to recruit the 20 youth to be able to offer this course and to implement it.
The second one was on the implementation of the course program.
There were a couple of difficulties that we met with. We had reported to the portfolio committee, but so far under quarter three, we had achieved the appointment of service providers for all 9 provinces. But before we could even appoint, we had in the department taken the liberty to recruit ourselves using the youth, SA youth database. We had done the recruitment ourselves in terms of calling for applications, and we had a huge response in terms of our youth responding. We started with the selection criteria, including interviews. We are happy to report that so far we have signed contracts with about 12 service providers. The last one, which is SMBELO, has got the contract. They are going through it and they will be able to sign. But the work continues. But it's quarter three, sufficient work has happened. It's just that we were not able to have all of the monitors on board. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. In Program 3, there were 2 targets that were not achieved in Quarter 3. The first target relates to the hosting or the event being held. Honourable Members and Honourable Chair will recall that we were wanting to use events to actually stimulate activity. So the target was a minimum of 1 event held in quarter 3. That was not achieved. We have, of course, subsequent to that, held 2 events in this quarter, one on the 8th of February and the other on the 2nd of March. And there was also an open call for proposals that was made, and the adjudication committee is finalizing all of those evaluations at present. The second target was a work opportunities target. I think that we fund both skills development and infrastructure out of our EPWP budget. DDG Setwaba has spoken to some of the challenges around the Tourism Monitors program. That was largely what impacted on this target in quarter three. At the end of quarter three, we had achieved 2,298 of the 4,133 that is required, and the shortfall that we are confident we will achieve in quarter four, now that the Tourism Monitors Program is up and running, is 1,835. So that speaks to the 2 targets that weren't achieved in Program 3. If we could then, I think, proceed to the infrastructure presentation. Thank you very much. The report that we have provided is as of the 29th of February. So the progress that is recorded in this presentation is as of the 29th of February for all of the projects that we are reporting against. We're reporting against the maintenance programs that are in our APP as well as the 29 community projects. In summary, we have 25 maintenance projects that are being run in 5 provinces. 22 of those projects have reached practical completion, and 3 of them are still underway. Of the 29 community projects, 4 of them have reached practical completion. 21 projects are currently in construction. 11 of those projects are on schedule, and 10 are behind schedule. 2 projects are still under planning, and 2 projects are at the stage of contractor appointment. The first slide then speaks to the maintenance projects that we have in the Eastern Cape. There are 6 projects. The first 3 have reached practical completion. For the next 3, Mpofu and Fordyce, it's behind schedule, but it's at 72%. The delay in this was really because we had to stop some work on site because it's a hunting season, so we had to allow for that booked activities to actually take place, and work has now continued subsequent to that. For Babiyan's Kloof, it's at 99%. The one outstanding piece of work there is related to the water treatment structure. We are awaiting a specialist delivery of this, and once that's in place, that will be completed. For Tweb and Dwesa Nature Reserves, the maintenance work is at 65%. The delay in the work is actually because we also then have to access the site a little bit later because there were pre-bookings on site in terms of this. So those then are the 3 maintenance projects, as I mentioned in the beginning, that are behind schedule but are actually in progress. The next set of projects are the community projects in the Eastern Cape. We have reached completion on the Maluti hiking trail, and at present we are doing the final account and closeout report. The Mtonzi and Kachwa projects are behind schedule. Both of those are actually behind schedule as a result of bad weather. So they've been impacted, the works on site have been impacted initially by the flooding, where we couldn't actually access the project sites. And the work at present at Mtonzi is at 94%, and the work at Kachwa is at 70%. Nyandeni Chalets is at 100% practical work completion, and the same for Western Timberland. We are basically then finalizing the final accounts and the closeout reports on these 2 projects. In the Free State, these are the maintenance projects at 4 sites. All of them are at practical completion, so they've been completed, and we're finalizing the final accounts and closeout reports on these maintenance projects. Then we come to the next slide, which speaks to our community projects, 3 of them that are being completed. The work has been completed at Manonsa. With regards to the Kwakwa guest house, the work has been completed, but what needs to be resolved is a water use license. So that work is now at 99%. The Frederfort Dome project is behind schedule. We had some challenges with the initial contractor on site. We followed all of the processes around the remedy and solution in terms of the contract, but unfortunately had to terminate that contract due to poor performance. A new contractor was appointed, and work has recommenced on site. Our projects in KwaZulu-Natal are community projects. The Musipan project is at present behind schedule. The challenges that we have had on this site is because it's a fairly remote site and it's not easily accessible. But what we're doing in terms of mitigation measures is that the project is being monitored on a weekly basis. And the professional service provider is working with the contractor to make sure that they actually order their material well in advance of work on site to try to see how we can catch up. The construction at present is at 6%. On the Isibubu project, there's 100% works completion, so we've achieved practical completion on this project. And in fact, at Isibubu, they have managed to host two events and on site since the work has been completed. The next set of projects then are five maintenance projects that are in Limpopo. All of them have reached practical completion, these maintenance projects, and at present we are finalizing the closeout report and final account on the projects. The next set of projects then speaks to our community projects, which are in Limpopo. The Pipidi Waterfalls project is at 57% in terms of construction. The Oaks project is at 93%. The project is behind schedule due to some challenges that we had with social unrest that interrupted the project at the beginning. But the project is now proceeding well. With regards to Batsonga, we are at the procurement stage with regards to this project, and we have a letter for concurrence on this project. The Ngobe project is at 55% works completion. The Matsila Lodge is at 84% construction. The project is unfortunately behind schedule. And that is largely due to slow works progress by the contractor and some inclement weather. But this project similarly is being monitored on a weekly basis to make sure that we catch up for lost time. The Tisane project is at 90% works completion. The project is also behind schedule. We did have a request for an extension of time by the contractor on site, and that's being managed contractually. At the moment, this matter is with a mediator because there is a dispute between the contractor and the professional service provider. For Nandoni Dam, the project is at 18% works completion. It is slightly behind schedule, and this was delayed because there was some delay in providing information to the contractor from the professional service provider. That situation has since been remedied, and for all of these projects, Honourable Chair and Honourable Member, there is weekly monitoring on them to make sure that we try to catch up with these. The Chateauque Game Farm is at 69% works completion, also behind schedule, and Mapate similarly is at 93% works completion, also slightly below schedule. On Mapate, we did have some challenges. There was a fatality on site, and we did have to stop works at the beginning of the project. But we are close to being able to complete it at this stage. The MTTT Game Farm is at 90% works completion, also slightly behind schedule because of initially slow work by the contractor. The Royal Kalanga project is on schedule and the construction is at 70%. The Mpumalanga projects, we have both the maintenance projects and the community projects. There are four maintenance projects. All of them have been completed, and we are finalizing the final accounts at present and the closeout report. There are two projects a community project. The Ndumbi Gate and Kambeni project is behind schedule. The construction is currently at 11%. We had some challenges on site, and the Numbi Gate project at Mdluli Safari Lodge, the construction is at 74% at present. The Northern Cape projects, two of them, Platfontein and Kamiesberg, both of them have required specialist studies. At Platfontein, there are water issues because of the water table, And we've had to do both topographical surveys as well as geotech reports. The initial report was actually submitted, but has to be redone. And so that is being finalized at present. But at Platfontein, what we are doing is to actually, while that work is being done, to split up the construction into two phases so that we actually start work on the conferencing center and then deal with the accommodation separately once the final geotech reports are in. Kamisberg similarly is a heritage site, and they also have to undertake environmental geotech surveys in order to actually sort out that work. We are similarly looking at a phased approach to being able to commence construction on that site. In the northwest, the Manyane project is at 17% construction. For Lotla Moreng, there is a process to conclude the tender processes at present. And the northwest Lehurut seabird and trophy hunting construction is currently at 45%. And then the last slide is the maintenance projects that we have implemented in the Western Cape, six of them. All of those maintenance projects have been completed, and we are at present finalizing the closeout report and the final account. That concludes the presentation on the infrastructure projects. Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members.
Let's start with the financial. Financials. The end part of the other problem.
Good morning, Honorable Members. I'm going to present the expenditure report as at the 31st of December 2023. We ended the quarter with a reduced budget of 63.7 million due to the imposed National Treasury budget cuts. So in terms of our achievement as at the end of quarter three, we were able to achieve 71%. However, in terms of the projections, we projected to spend 75%, so we have a variance of 4% per program. Starting with program one, in terms of the expenditure, we achieved 67%. We have a variance of minus 4%. And the reason for that is that the projections that were estimated to be spent in that quarter could not go through. And the second one is tourism research policy and international relations. In the last sitting, the committee requested us to separate program two from SAT, so we have done so. In terms of the actual expenditure for program two, we achieved 66% with a variance of minus 0.9%. As a tourism, we have achieved 83% as projected, so there are no variances there. Program 3, destination development, we achieved 36%. However, we projected to spend 64%. We have a variance of 28%, and the reason for that is that the EPWP projects were implemented late in the last quarter. So what was planned to be spent in the third quarter has now been transferred to the fourth quarter. The last program is our tourism sector support services. The actual expenditure is 71%. We have a variance of minus 1%. And in terms of the economic classification, under current payments, compensation of employees, we have a variance over expenditure as per the projections, not over expenditure of the budget, but we have projected 58 and we spend 11% more. And the reason for that is due to the pay progressions. Usually pay progression is planned for in the fourth quarter of the financial year. However, this year we received a Treasury directive that the pay progression must be paid in the third quarter. So that's why we had that variance of minus 11%. But it doesn't mean that we are overspending on our COE. We are not. And in terms of goods and services, is affected by the EPWP project, and the 28% there is due to the EPWP project. In terms of transfers and subsidies, the variance is under foreign government and international organization is due to the exchange rate fluctuations. And under capital asset, we have a variance of minus 60%. Under machinery and equipment, it is administrative type of equipment. So we had a challenge in terms of replacement of assets for that quarter. We did not anticipate that we would have to replace those assets in the third quarter. However, in terms of the budget, we were at 96%, so there's no over expenditure. Overall, as we have presented, we have achieved 71%, and we had a variance of 4% as opposed to what we have projected to spend.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. In terms of the audit action plan, we had a total of 40 actions that were identified. Suffice also to mention, Honorable Chairperson, that most of them are what is contained in the management letter. And not necessarily in the audit report itself. And we make sure that when we track them, we track everything that the AG has raised in the course of the audit. We are at a point now where we are left with only three that have not yet been concluded. And I wouldn't necessarily say, Honorable Chairperson, that they are sort of problem areas per se. We are maintaining them as yellow and not green for one and one reason only, that we should make sure that we track them right until the end of the financial year. When we close them and we say they are green, we should be saying that they are green because we have accounted for every single aspect of that particular action plan in terms of the full financial year. Those areas, one is the reconciliation of leave that has been taken by the employees. We reconcile that leave continuously to make sure that there isn't leave that may have been taken but not necessarily correctly recorded. And this does have implications for financial statements in that if someone takes leave, and that leave is not necessarily fully recorded in time, and by that time when we record it, the person has already left the system. It could be that we have already paid the person so-called leave days that they have accrued, and the person actually took leave. So we're making sure that we don't find ourselves in that sort of territory. The second area is the payment of invoices in time. We did report that we're 100% in the third quarter. So what we should be doing is to make sure that we constantly monitor this area right until the end of the financial year. So we'll maintain it as yellow until the financial year has actually closed and we have reconciled everything. And then the last one is the asset verification to make sure that our asset register is up to date. And the assets that we're talking about are movable assets. And this we are almost done with it, but we'll maintain it as yellow right until the end of the financial year and then just make sure that we've done another test. The kinds of things we're talking about is, for instance, in Parliament when they're doing this asset verification in this room, it could be that the room next door needs one or two more chairs, and there's a meeting there, and the staff just come and take this chair and go the other side. And they forget to bring back this chair, and then when they come to verify here, they find that there's two chairs that are missing. When they go to the other side, they find that that room has got more chairs, but it doesn't become the responsibility of the auditor to say it could have come from here. So it's that level of discipline that we should just maintain. But overall, we do believe that we will be able to action all the areas that were raised by the AG and conclude them appropriately. Yes.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, I just want to add two issues on infrastructure to inform the committee that on the 16th of April, I will be going to Western Tembulan Cultural Village. You will recall this is one of the projects where we had some incomplete EPWP infrastructure projects, and we have now made 27 million rand available to DBFA to complete the project. I will be looking at the water challenges generally in the Krizani district, and then also the electricity challenges around the project. Eskom has only in January 2024 submitted a quote to us of 2.5 million, and so we will also be processing that funding so that we can conclude this project that has been long outstanding. The other visit that I will also do is the Cape Agulhas iconic lighthouse project. Now, again, here, phase one was completed in 2018. That is in Bredasdorp. And we now have made funding available to complete the structure. And the department has made 40 million rand available, Sandparks 1 million. And so we are going to look at the scope of work. I'm told it's 69% complete, but the total budget there is about 54 million. So those are two of the oversights that I've already got in my diary as it relates to infrastructure projects. There are some more in Limpopo and then in Northwest that we're also trying to fit in, but on these two I can submit reports to the committee afterwards about my findings of doing the oversight visit. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Minister and the teacher. I'm going to allow discussion. I wish to note him from the honourable member. Honourable Manele, followed by Makubela, followed by Ishmael, followed by Mamukeko, followed by Honorable Mbosha, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to everybody in the meeting. Chairperson, let's appreciate the presentation on the third quarter. However, Chair, I think I only have two questions for the presentation. In terms of the infrastructure project, I see that Western Cape is the only province where all the projects were concluded. Therefore, I would like to know as to what is it that was done differently to ensure that all projects get completed in the Western Cape that could not be implemented in other provinces.
Mm-hmm.
And then my second question would be around the project in the Free State. Probably just a correct classification of placing. Why is it that the Gariep Dam is classified as in a citizen in Sobhuza local municipality, because in different states there's no district that is called Dick's Liquor Fair. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Persons, greetings to your good self and my colleagues, members here, and the Minister, DM, and the department led by yourself, DG. One, on the tourism monitors program, you mentioned that you've also utilized the avenue of recruiting from the National Youth Service portal, which is the platform that you can utilize. I just want to get what are the wins of using that system, because I think if it's easy that way, it would mean that throughout the country you are able to use that platform to be able to recruit young people for all the 9 provinces. It then makes the work very, very easy. You cut on the red tape, and you are able to achieve, because rightfully so, as much as we are saying you for quarter three there's much work, it means it's a partial achievement from yourself. The other two quarters you are not able to achieve on this tourism monitors program. Although we have mentioned as the portfolio committee that it's one of the critical projects that would, one, be able to absorb young people in their majority. Secondly, give confidence to our tourism, a tourist product, you know, in an attraction where when you see visibility of people, you automatically start feeling safe, even if, you know, you don't know. But once you see there's people in reflectors, if you are a tourist, be it domestic a domestic tourist or international tourist, you start amaphapho akho ayehlanje, you start cruising to say, here, yeah, I'm here, I'm safe. And that's what we want. Once the more visibility, because we've identified that the reason we're not doing well is that first, international tourists have red flag South Africa is not a safe destination. Secondly, ourselves as a country, we have concerns of safety ourselves, given the high levels of crime in the country, and that we cannot run away from, which means we have to fix the problem. And then the last question, Chair, will be around the vacancy rate as a result of the department observing the notice from Public Service and Administration. Now, can you indicate to us, perhaps you mentioned that you were able to fill in around 20-something positions, which you are in the process of filling, which were advertised before there was this advisory notice. But you are not able to tell us how, because the advisory notice was saying you can apply if you feel that there are positions that you cannot do without. What have you done in that case? And also this downscaling of personnel, how has it impacted on the performance of the department? Thank you, Chairperson.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, everybody. Thank you for the presentation. I just have a few questions for clarity. On Program 1, page 4, SMS women representation at a minimum of 50%, you state absence of senior managers in HR to drive the process. Can you please clarify the statement? I mean, how many senior managers in HR do you have open? How many open posts do you have? Or maybe am I reading it wrong? If you could just give me some clarity there. On infrastructure, gosh, I've searched so much here and I'm not going to be clear my own writing. On Eastern Cape, you know, on the third project, you know, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it properly, Kasiwa Lodge, it states expected to end on 12th of March 2024. I think today is the 12th of March, if I'm not mistaken. Perhaps you can give us an update to say if this project is indeed completed today. And then, give me one second. On projects, you know, where the contractor is very slow and has not actually completed on time, or the work is not being done on time, you say that these are being monitored, you know, and to ensure that they, you know, capture lost time. But what do you do in the future? I mean, if the contractor doesn't end on time, do you then, do you implement a fine to the contractor? Do you reflect these contractors? What do you do to ensure that this doesn't happen again? Because I'm not sure if the same contractor is appointed to one or two or three of these projects, but I mean, if it is indeed the same contractors that are, you know, dealing with more than one project and doing the same thing, shouldn't there be some consequence management on these contractors so that they don't, you know, just take it for granted and to work at a pace that they feel is sufficient for them, provided that obviously it's not due to inclement weather or, you know, issues of utilizing the premises for other, you know, users as you specified previously. I think I'm done for now. I'm just trying to check all my stretching. Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, colleagues. Good morning to the department as led by the minister and everyone in the house. I'm joining my colleagues to appreciate the presentation and the progress made so far. I'm taking note of the Chairperson's opening remarks when she said we are at the about to finish the term, or let me say the financial year. And I think what is reported now has already been covered because we are close to the end of the financial year. I am going to comment on four issues. Some are just comments, some are advices. I take note of what was reported on the less than 50% norm that is not met by the department. I appreciate the progress made because we are informed that you are on a recruitment drive now, meaning I take it that the SMS posts you are going to consider on your recruitment. If not, I'm advising that you also consider that, taking note of the response of the Department of Public Administration to you when you were making a request. It is good that you did prioritize and write back to them to say there are these posts that were budgeted for, so you are given a go-ahead. I take it as that. If not, I'm suggesting something else. If not, I am also considering what was reported. The minister had a comment on the movement of staff, saying some have retired, some have moved within across departments, some have resigned. I am thinking of a strategy that in your APP you must come up with something as a retention strategy, because when people resign, people move from your department to another department. That delays progress. It's time consuming, it's delaying progress, and also it's costly, because recruitment has financial implications. If you recruit now and after two, you employ, and after some, you recruit again. So there's a delay in progress, and it's also time consuming and delaying the progress that we need. Coming to destination development, I think of the oversight that was cancelled, the oversight visit to the Eastern Cape. I think there were reasons for Parliament to cancel that, but I think Parliament is going to rise. We may not go there again, but those that will be left behind, the administration, that I think even our report will talk on that, because we were to undertake an oversight visit to the Eastern Cape, taking note of what we're going to see there and report back to Parliament about, according to the observations that one will be making there, because there are a lot of projects, not in the Eastern Cape, only across the country. I think this destination development is the program that brings visitors and a way of promoting domestic tourism. So we prioritize it. Coming to what was reported as an under expenditure on your financial, I take note of what was reported as an under expenditure, because you implemented the EPWP project late. I just want to remind you, there are people who are direct beneficiaries to that program. Those that were less fortunate, we must think about them. We must prioritize that area. Government thought of that, thinking of those in brackets that benefit, they take it as an employment, even if it's contractual, but they take it that it's changing their lives. So I am concerned about that. It must not happen again. On the audit action progress, at least something is done. I am satisfied, thinking that when you come with your last quarter performance report, you will be reporting on 100%. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members, Honorable Minister and CM, Department of Officials and our support team. Okay, Chair, I'll try. I was saying thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to yourself, honorable members, the honorable minister and the DM, the departmental officials, the SIDG, our support team.
Chairperson, let me also welcome and appreciate the presentations made. Chair, and one of the things that I think I appreciate mostly about the presentation is that with all the delays and the presented challenges, there are at least corrective measures, Chairperson. On the also on the representation of women, which is currently at 50%, it is to be welcomed, but the department can do better in terms of that. On the issue that has to do with the vacancy in HR, Chairperson, I think the department must urgently ensure that they fill the manager post in HR to drive the processes of recruitment, Chairperson, and I think that one is to be prioritized, Chair. I'm not sure, Chairperson, on the summary on program two, if it's part of the memo and in terms of the format that we are to receive a blank page, reasons being that all the targets have been achieved in that program. The question that I have is where and what are this program? Maybe if I can be clarified in that it is a summary, maybe that's why there is a blank page. We only get to see the achieved targets on the third quarterly performance report for financial year 2023-24, not on the summary. Also, Chairperson, with program three, I've raised this one of corrective measures, which I'm pleased of. Program four, on the Ngobe, I just have one question, Chair, on that one. Has the security they have been upgraded, Chairperson, given the fact that one of the findings we had when we visited there was that there's vandalism and there's theft. As a result, there were items or assets that went missing, Chair. Secondly, Chair, on program four, I just need clarity on the slow works by contractor. What does that mean, and why is it allowed to happen? Because in almost all the delayed projects, the reasons are the slow works by the contractor. Also, thirdly, it's the delayed response by professional services. I just need clarity also on that one, Chair. On the Nambi Gate project, which is behind schedule, there are no reasons stated, Chair. I think if I'm correct, it's at 15% or 7%. There are delays there. Let me maybe leave this one because I'm unable to uncover myself. I was covered by Honorable Krego in that the next administration will have to follow up on some of these projects, Chairperson. Because I wanted to go back to one of the decisions that we have proposed as the committee, Chair, that people in their respective provinces or areas must be able to conduct oversight on this project that are tabled, Chair. On slide 7, Chairperson, the implementation of the RECP was not implemented due to one, compromised SPM processes. On the corrective measures, I might not have them now, I think there is one which is speaking, which is not which is not stated there, which I think if we, the department is saying the non-implementation was due to compromised SEM processes, then the first corrective measure should be speaking to the compromised SEM processes, but that is not the case in terms of what has been presented, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members, for your contributions. I think DG and the Minister, mine is on the understanding, mainly due to the spending within the extended public works. Honorable Kleko partially covered me and Honorable Mbushe. But what I want to understand is, what are the challenges? It is because we are unable to develop programs, or is it because you are just being negligent? I'm saying this because the extended public works program is supposed to simultaneously create jobs, whether permanent or temporary, alongside the program of our government in terms of poverty alleviation and job creation, and provide work experience to the people that might need that, and also skill people, make sure that South Africans are employable, because there are those ones who are not employable at all. But extended public works programs provides an opportunity for such people. Now, are you understanding on this one, because you are unable to create or, you know, come with the programs that will speak on this? And I'm raising this because at some point, the money of the extended public works program was redirected to a Monyane Lodge, as the report, if my memory serves me well. So that alone, it was a gross violation of the intent for this particular program. On the Green Tourism Incentive Program, I see there you are reporting nicely, but at some point I think you need to present to the Portfolio Committee these Green Tourism Intensive Programs so that you are able to be at the same wavelength on these particular programs. Data collection for the assessment of the state of publicly owned tourist attractions, we are reporter houses in Dobana, it has commenced and you've achieved a lot. What is it that you've achieved? You need to present that also to the Portfolio Committee. I want you to balance me a DG. The Tourism Safety Awareness Session, you decide to conduct it there in Pretoria, Gauteng, November 14th. Well and good. But where I'm sitting, I would have taken that awareness session to Mpumalanga, Kruger National Park, where it matters the most, because most of these unsafety incidences, tourists are killed and what have you, in the main, you will get that in Mpumalanga or Western Cape Province in particular. Then you decide to go and sit there in Pretoria and, you know, conduct such an important program, because that would have turned the tide for us as a country, even internationally, to say, by the way, they take this thing very seriously. they take it where it matters the most. That's my, you know, perhaps illusion. I don't know. The Portfolio Committee undertaken a study, an oversight. Portfolio Committee went to Matsila Lodge. Ngove also was amongst the oversights which were taken by the Portfolio Committee. And you are reporting here today that this project, you are still maintaining that it will be done by the 19th of May 2024. And the work progress there is 55%. That is so fallacious. It's not possible. Now, sometimes when you come to the Portfolio Committee, you need to relook on the reports that you are bringing to the Portfolio Committee and the ones that you brought previously in the Portfolio Committee, because now it sounds like cut and paste. Because you would have assessed the work done before you could come to the Portfolio Committee, and you would have reworked the end date of this particular project. If it's 55%, magic only can prevail for you to be able to conclude that work by the 19th of May 2024. Matsila Lodge. Slow works progress from the contractors, inclement weather. What is inclement weather? Because in my other life, I'm deployed to Limpopo. In my other life, I frequent that province. It's my second home. Now define for me inclement weather when it comes to Limpopo. Because in my little understanding of inclement weather, it is severe or harsh weather, cold or wet. Cold and wet in Limpopo, rare occurrence. Believe you me. So what is this thing that you are reporting to the Portfolio Committee? In June last year, on the 13th, you reported to the Portfolio Committee that the work done in Matsila Lodge is 45%. And then between June last year and today, only 10% that you have done there of the work. 55% project, what's the meaning of that? 25% project, I mean progress, what's the meaning of that? 84 only. From that time to now, it's not possible. And the inclement weather, it doesn't arise when it comes to Limpopo. So you need to bring valid reasons as to why. And it goes back to that question which was raised by honorable members. Is there no penalty imposed to these contractors if the delay is on their own accord? What are the penalties imposed? Because with my little understanding of Treasury regulations, there must be a penalty that is imposed on these people. Is it a, you know, by a Venezuelan, Uwama Kitas Betane, when it comes to the Department of Tourism projects with the DPSA. So I'm going to allow you to respond on the. I would have anticipated that Uma Mukwege is the chairperson in that region of Amatoli to confirm whether those two projects are there, Mtonzi and Kaitwa, whether those projects are existing, and in terms of the reports, yes, they are in that state of the percentages as presented to the Portfolio Committee in terms of the completions and what you see. So, yeah, I'm going to allow the department to respond to the questions that are presented before them by the Portfolio Committee. Thank you very much, DJ.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I'm going to request the DDGs to respond. We'll start from program one and end with program four.
Thank you, honorable chair members. In relation to how we have approached the issue of the directive by MPSA and whether we have prioritized and motivated for the filling of those vacancies, I can confirm that when the directive arrived in October, it did provide for the department to submit those posts that it considered critical for the operations of the department and for the implementation of the mandate to the MPSA for continuing with the filling of those vacancies. The department submitted a list of 52 positions that it asked that the MPSA approve a recruitment on. We, at this stage, do not have a response in that regard. There is regular follow-up, and we will be writing again to follow up again on a decision on the original list we submitted. However, I had indicated that of those 52, we did receive a general guidance to the public service, not a response directly to the department, that said, where you have posts that you had already advertised, you can proceed with filling those. And for the department, that meant 56. As such, you would have seen then that guidance coming in November last year, a rollout of a recruitment process within the organization, and some posts in that list having been filled. There is almost daily a recruitment activity, whether it's a shortlisting, whether it's candidates going for assessment, whether it's a sitting of interviews. There is currently daily activity on the recruitment drive within the organization currently to see us by end of the year having put another dent into this target of vacancies that we are struggling with, as well as the 50% women. There is a definite impact on the operations of the organization and the efficiency within the organization as a result of the fact that we are not able to fill certain positions in the organization. It puts pressure on processes, it puts pressure on people, and it puts pressure on the implementation of our plans. Where possible, relevant managers would prioritize one project over another, find other mechanisms for driving implementation while you are at a reduced capacity in terms of human resources. It does have a material impact with the people in the organization. However, at least the filling of the 26 that we are fast checking, we will see some change, but we would like to be able to fill the whole complement of the list of 52. And the ones that are now becoming vacant as people move, whether outside of the organization or within the organization. In relation to SMS posts vacant at HR, there are two of those, and they are both director posts. In terms of its recruitment, of the recruitment process...
The chief director.
Yes, the chief director. Thank you so much, DG. Yes, the chief director as well. I think I've gotten so used to Dr. Mkabele there. However, Dr. Mkabele is also acting. I apologize for that. The two director posts, the one is at what's being shortlisted yesterday. The other one, interviews at SEC. There are two candidates recommended this week earlier, or was it last week, where they were going through the additional assessments that for competency testing for senior managers. So we are likely to see a final recommendation to DG for approval of an appointment of the one director, and the second director would be it has been shortlisted, the position has been shortlisted as of yesterday, and I believe that the date indicated by the panel yesterday was for interviews to sit this Friday. So we are pushing for those that we are able to do so. We are pushing for those with agency. DJ, I'm going to ask for assistance with the chief director post. I'm not sure if it was on the list of 52 or whether it was advertised and closed already. Yes.
It's shortlisted, and the panel should be sitting, I think, next week.
Thank you, DJ. I'm Honorable Kereko.
Yeah, Mama was right.
I'm sorry. Honorable Kereko, I've indicated in relation to what have we done with the MTSA in relation of submitting motivation. We are still waiting for a response in that regard, but we are proceeding with 26 that had already been advertised. In relation to a retention strategy, we do have a policy in the organization in relation to retention, because its elements include what we can do during a recruitment process to retain officials, what can we do in regards to benefits, what we can do with regards to health and safety of officials in the organization, in terms of labor relations as well, and many touch points at HR that combine to encourage officials to want to stay in the organization. We have a policy that drives that. However, a key element of that, because when people are seeking other opportunities, they will apply for other posts in the public service. And a key or a strategy in that regard relates to what can we do at recruitment and selection. And at this stage, we are kind of hand-tied with what we can do as the PESA system is locked for any further recruitment, excluding those ones that have already been advertised. So in relation to a recommendation around us improving our retention strategy, we do have that policy in place, and we do implement it as we implement the HR strategy in totality, and we will review it regularly as the conditions change. Let's see if I'm missing any other one. DG, I think those are all my questions.
Thank you very much, Honorable Members, for the comments and questions and advice. To Honorable Maneli's point, I will be guided by the committee in terms of information to share in the instance where all targets have been met, but I will also just highlight...
Sorry, Didi. My suggestion is that you highlight just highlight some of the key things that we're dealing with.
Thank you, DG. As I was saying, but I will highlight the key deliverables for quarter three. We targeted to do 5 monitoring and evaluation reports for this current financial year. The first one speaks to the assessment of the state of tourism, public-owned tourist attractions. It's also the project that Honourable Chair referred to, and indeed, Honourable Chair, as soon as we have concluded the report in the current quarter, we are ready to present the outcomes of our assessment to the Portfolio Committee. We are also monitoring new and continuing capacity building programs. That is something that we are continuously doing. And we have also undertaken the evaluation of the departmental incubation approach. Our fourth project around M&E speaks to the evaluation of the accommodation grading program. And the last one is our report on the performance of the tourism sector. And as I indicated, for quarter three, we managed to reach the targets for those projects. We are also in our next annual target, we work on the National Tourism Statistics Plan, which we plan to finalize at the end of quarter four. We have worked on 2 knowledge systems, the one speaking to the tourist guide system and the other one on the tourism and employment portal. We continue continue to advance South Africa's interest in the multilateral platforms that we participate in, and here we prioritize the World Tourism Organization, G20, Greek Study, EORA, and the African Union, and we did manage to reach the targets under those. Our sharing of best practices, annual sharing of best practices program, well, it's happening tomorrow, but the target for quarter three was made, and the two outreach programs that we targeted for the year, we targeted one for quarter three and one for quarter four, but at the end we managed to reach also to have both our outreach to China, which Minister led, and the outreach to Kenya, which the Deputy Minister led in quarter three. And the reason for that was that we were advised by our Chinese counterparts that it's better to have this program in quarter three than to have it in quarter four as we originally targeted. So in summary, those were the targets that we had for quarter three that were all met, and as indicated, Honourable Chair, we are ready to present our findings as soon as they are finalized. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Just to add, under knowledge management, the issue that refers to the tourist guiding system is the central database that the committee made a very clear recommendation that we should actually consider that. So that system has been put in place now. I'll then ask Program 3 to proceed.
Thank you, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members. I think that there were several project-specific questions that were asked. If I might, Honourable Chair, on the Matsila project and on the Numbigate project, if I could get back to the Portfolio Committee in writing. I don't have the details of the actual inclement weather incident at Matsila, and also the details of what has resulted in the delay at Numbigate. If I can provide that at a later stage once I have got those details. I think with regard to the overall EPWP understanding, Honourable Chair, I think we do appreciate the advice from committee members. I think the challenges that we have had that result in the delay in our programs are largely...
Let me deal with that.
Okay, thank you, Dichi. If I can then go to the very specific issues around contractors, I think what I would like to do is to assure Honourable Members and the Honourable Chair that we do impose penalties, and many of the contractors where the projects are in fact behind schedule are on penalties at the moment. So what happens on the projects is that we follow the contracting, at least the DBSA team does. They give the contractors the opportunity, of course, to remedy those problems. But where those problems are not remedied, they do actually levy penalties. And on several of these projects that are now behind schedule, contractors are in fact on penalties, which then of course impacts the amount of money that they get from the contract itself. I think then with specific questions related to the projects, on the Ngobe project, the contractor does in fact have security on site. We have not had any incidents of vandalism since construction has started on that specific project. With regards to the Kachwa project, it is behind schedule. It won't be completed by this date that is found there. The reason for that project really being behind schedule was that it was largely impacted by the flooding. What happened was that the roads to the project was in fact washed away when the floods happened, and that in the beginning of the project delayed the, our ability to be able to deliver material to that project site. We then worked with the local authority to try to repair that road. Construction has since commenced, but the project is now, I think, at 70%, according to the report, but won't be completed by today, which is the date. That was the initial date that was set. And then I think Honorable Manele, the infrastructure projects, the maintenance projects, in fact, 22 of the 25 have been completed. Six of those were, of course, in the Western Cape. We have seen completion of community projects in the Eastern Cape. There are three of them that are at practical completion, and one, of course, in the Free State. We are, in fact, learning the lessons from those where we've been successful. The maintenance projects, of course, the scope of work is a shorter time frame, and therefore they are, all of them except three, have been completed to date. And we are, of course, trying to apply the lessons where we've been successful to other projects to try to also get those completed. And apologies, but thank you for picking up the error around Khabib Dam. We will correct the district in which that is located, but apologies for that error. I think that was all of the very specific questions, Honorable Members and Honorable Chair. Thank you.
Ngobe, I think there was a specific question from the Chairperson, Ngobe, 19 May 2024.
DG, in the last report that we received from the DBSA, they did indicate that this project is on schedule, so it's not one of the projects that's behind schedule according to the report, but I think that, Honorable Chair, the point that you raise about it being at 85 at this point, 55, let me double check. We can also then, if it's acceptable, provide a written feedback on the Bobby. Yes. Because I don't have that detail in front of me, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, just to add on the project, I think we should provide you with an up-to-date report on all, because at the moment we are making a reference to the 29th of February, which a lot might have happened by end of March. We should at least be able to give you an updated report. I did visit Ngome project about 4 weeks ago, not only that, I will give you others that I have visited. There are others that I visit also which are not the minister would know which ones I have visited, but it's quite, I just secretly go there. To have my own sense of what is actually on the deck. No, Honorable Matumba's one that he raised was Matira, not Ngobe. So when I got there, I could see that there's very good progress, but I can confirm that from what I saw, we will not be able to finish on the 19th of May. I can confirm that up front. The issue here, Honorable Chairperson, for me, I would like to withdraw that part. The issue, yeah, that one I would like to withdraw. I don't think, from what I saw, I don't think we will be able to complete at that particular time. So just to make sure that the record is correct, even though we've got what the DPSA said, there whatever I found in there, I have written to the executive director responsible for infrastructure at DPSA. so that he could also appraise us as to what are the issues. I, subsequent to that and what I've seen there, I then spoke to the minister and said I will go and visit Manyana. And I did visit Manyana. I did see what I saw on site. The 17%, yes, I could see it. I've written to him as well on some of the things that I've actually observed on the ground. So there are some of these projects that as we look at these reports, then I am able to pick up these are some of the issues, and then we are able to then look into that. I can confirm, Mr. Honorable Chairperson, that Kachwa does exist. Kachwa, it does exist. I have been there on the ground, and there is work that is actually taking place there. So we are dealing with these things. The part that I think we still need to respond to, Shamila, is the Numbi Gate. What is happening in the Numbi Gate? Thank you, Tim. Thank you.
No, so thanks and greetings to honorable members. Well, Numbi Gate, not just Numbi Gate, the other projects where they've got similar problems. I thought Shamila is aware. I don't know why she... We've got some challenges in communities where project starts. After I started the project, a particular group comes in, disrupt the project, and then force the contractor to leave or to suspend the work. So what has happened in Numbi Gate on the Nkambeni project, which is under Chief Muhaula? A consultation was done. It was then agreed where the location of the project will be. After that, award was given to the contractor. A project steering committee was established. Subsequently, that a family came and stopped the project because they claim that it is their forefathers' land. And they claim that they were not consulted and all of that. It's a communal land. And communal land doesn't belong to families. It belongs to the community as a whole. Regardless that your family won't stay there. But it remains a communal land. Once there is a community resolution that accepts that you have to build a particular project in the area, that becomes binding, regardless of what. But they went there and disrupted the project, and the project had to stop. I went there and spent 4 hours with them. After agreeing with all of them, because there are some mistakes that they've been done on the constitution of the project, after I've agreed how it must work and all of that, when they were about to start, the traditional council stopped the project and said certain things. Well, I went back and engaged the traditional council. We then arrived at the consensus, and then they then agreed to meet as a project steering committee and then agree on the way forward. They met in December, November, towards the end of November, early December, and agreed that the project will start this year. When I made follow-up end of January, early February, the project has not yet started. Not on our problem, on our side. The project steering, we're not agreeing on many things. That includes the what you call the project at Frederick Fort, Honorable Malay. That project is not, the contractor should have started, but it's not started. I went there 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. And at a meeting with the mayors, the councillors, and we agreed. So they were supposed to have the first steering committee last week Friday. They met the steering committee. But when they arrived at item number 4, they deadlocked, which was the CLO's appointment. Councillors wanted their own process as opposed to what is required in terms of the law how to appoint the CLO. And was a deadlock as a result of that. So the meeting could not proceed further than that. So those are some of the practical things that you find on some of the projects on the ground. In Northwest, as well last year, a project was stopped because of the Business Forum, where they came and nearly killed the contractors, the workers there. So those are the practical things that we find in communities. And that delays some of the work that is supposed to be done. Shamira, because next time you'll come and you'll not have a progress. For example, in Tibet, you know, we didn't say what's happening. You said, no, there's progress. No, there's no progress in Tibet. I was there last week. The problem, I'm told, is that the contractor is run out of funds. So the project is abandoned, as we speak. There's no one there. The project is abandoned, and the challenge is that, as I'm saying, the contractor, I'm told, is run out of funds. So DVSA must then start afresh. To look for a new contractor to finish the remainder of the work that is left, which will take another three to 4 months for it to happen. Because they must go to tender and all the supply chain process. Similar to what has happened at Freedom, because at Freedom a contractor was appointed, in the process she ran out of funds. Could not proceed with the project. So she had to be terminated, and then the process is started afresh. That was last year, July, August. That's why the project was supposed to have been started with a new contractor in February, which is deadlocked because of the not agreement with the councillors about the CLO and all of that. So you have got a series of bad challenges within communities, which then contribute sometimes to the delay on the implementation of some of the project. It's something therefore that we have to develop a plan how to manage that thing, because you have got consultation, you read consensus. And you think that things are fine, then you go out on tender, start implementing. If I was not there, some of the things that we were arguing was about a 30% local. And the 30% only applies when the project is 80 million and above in terms of treasury regulation. If it is below 30 million, there's no such a thing. But we demanded that until you have to show them the law. So say, this is the law, but we are not saying the contractor must not provide to locals, SMEs. Yes, we will be able to provide, not in the context of 30%, in the context of what is practical possible for the locals to do. But because communities, they just say that they add about 30%. So they demand 30% and they end up disrupting projects as a result of that. And you have to go there, sit down with them and try to explain some of these things. So that's where some of the challenges are in relating to some of the project. Thanks, Orange.
Thank you, DM. If I can just add two more points, Chair. The one on the safety, there's the safety awareness programs, and then there is the safety, tourism safety forum that we reactivated in 2023. And the tourism safety forum consists of the public sector, private sector, South African Police Services, the NPA, and we have had three meetings already. We started off with our first meeting in August last year in Gauteng. The second meeting was held in the Western Cape, and the third one was held in Mpumalanga in December last year, where we also deployed the tourism monitors. And then we're planning another one because we have agreed to meet every 3 months. So maybe the department can speak to the tourism safety awareness campaign. But that is the other one that that I am driving, which is the forum together with the department. The other point raised by honorable members and is getting to that 50% gender parity and our employment equity targets, is that sometimes I will see a list of short listings. Now, if we want to be biased towards women, I have advised the department that when we advertise, we must say that that is the preference, because we have got employment equity targets. So sometimes you see a short list where you've got one woman and three males. And if that woman is not successful, then there's going to be no... So I said with the shortlist, we must make sure that we've got enough women on the shortlist also so that we can get to that target. But the department is looking at how do we change our processes to ensure that we do get our employment equity target in. The last one that I want to speak on honorable members that we are also looking at. Members are talking about the underspend or poor performance of contractors. The missing link is that we need to have a contract management structure within the department. So we don't just sign a contract and then thereafter they get implemented. So we have agreed that we need to up our contract management with all contractors, but even revise the actual contract, because you will find in some of these contracts there are hardly any penalties, and the whole risk is on government and not so much on the service providers. So we have started to look at that one. Concerning the using of the Presidential Employment Program database, the old process of the department used to be to put out a tender to appoint a service provider in every province to then do the recruitment. Now, because we didn't start the recruitment in the first or the second quarter, no recruitment was done then. DG and myself contacted the program management office in the presidency, and we asked them to that we want to utilize that database, an existing government database where there are many young people and many of them have been screened, and so we use that database. But there's another database of people who are receiving in-between grants. There's another database for the Labor Department. So there's no need to appoint first a service provider, and then the service provider must do the recruitment. And that has actually caused the delay of the tourism monitoring program. But DJ and myself intervened, and we resorted to the existing databases. Just in terms of the deployment of the tourism monitors, we worked together with the private sector and the police, and we identify frequently visited sites or hotspots. And so the tourism monitors we identified 59 in the country, and then the tourism monitors were then deployed firstly to all of those sites. Just some general points that I wanted to add, Chairperson. Thank you very much.
Honorable Ectras.
Chairperson, thank you very much. It is my first speaking in this meeting. First, let me say thank you. I acknowledge the presentations. It was good. Chairperson, I want to raise my appreciation for the DG and the Deputy Minister, who has indicated that they have physically gone to go and look at these projects. It is part of what is our responsibility as the Portfolio Committee, to follow the money of taxpayers if it is doing its work. However, Chairperson, I must also say that when I hear about work stoppages and things like this that is happening, it is worrisome. When we are going to communities, we always make sure the communities is involved, then you won't have this problem of jobs being stopped. They must be part of the projects, and they will look after it if they are part of it. But Chairperson, I'm raising a serious concern. I feel that the report that Shamila has given us has either intentfully misled the Portfolio Committee or deliberately told us lies. That is illegal, Chairperson. How do you get it right that a person can come to the Portfolio Committee and tell us that it's well underway, and then the Deputy Minister says that thing has stopped completely? This is an indictment, DG and Minister, very bad one. And I want to know, is this intentionally, or what is the, or is she unaware of what is happening in the department? I'm very concerned about this. Thank you, Chairperson.
Bush. Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it's on program two, the follow-up on the question that I have raised, Chair. My question, Chair, was specific to ask for clarity in terms of why are the achieved targets not taken in the report, Chair. I never requested that the department present what was not there in that page, Chair. Secondly, Chairperson, I am not sure if that which is raised by Honourable Minister in terms of safety awareness and the monitors that have been sent to site responds to the question that I asked in terms of Ngobe and the security upgrades, Chairperson. Chair, coming closer to Honourable April, I don't know, Chairperson. DDG Chetia, indeed, decided to be economical about the truth and not give us the information necessary for us. And my understanding, Chairperson, is that as we conduct oversight, we also support and give guidance to the department. So there is no way that they will have to hide information to the Portfolio Committee. Mind you, get Chairperson, the very same DDG who has lied to us today is the same DDG who undermined us in Northwest when we visited Manyane Lodge. Yeah, I've got pizza, Chair. And I don't know, I think I want to respond to Honorable April by saying I think it's intentional now. It can't be that it's a mistake or any other reason thereof. Because imagine if the DM was not present in this meeting, we will live here under the impression that all is well out there. And knowing very well that we are about to leave this parliament
and on the seventh administration, and she will continue with economically stingy. Chairperson, lastly, I'm not sure if DDG Chetia here is overwhelmed by her work. She needs assistance in terms of human resource, or because there are no proper plans to address the issues on the ground in terms of the delay, Chairperson. I think I lost my last point, Chair, but I also appreciate that which ODM has done in terms of providing us with the correct information in terms of this. Oh, the question that I forgot, Chair, is the one that has to do with are there no project managers that oversee the work in this site, in all these projects? I think I did ask this question when we were dealing with that grant report, Chair. Thanks.
Can I note all the hands of honorable members that wants to have a second bite so that I don't do trips and pieces? Honorable Gomba, no one else. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, for the opportunity. Honorable Chair, I am very much worried after the Deputy Minister raised issues such as abundance of projects. And it now comes back for me to begin to doubt the reports that we have received, because it shows that there are some hidden issues that we are not aware of. And this comes back to question what was going to happen if the Deputy Minister was not around. It means we were going to go with a report that says all is well. I want to also, Honorable Chair, say that this also raised questions to me around the issues of the project procurement processes by the DBSA itself, because DBSA is the one that appoints the project, the successful bidders and the companies that are supposed to build or complete projects. So it means the project management processes may also be flooded. It's either they are flooded or the processes are not properly following the legislated procurement management system according to the PFMA. It means there's no, they just employ the project company without having followed up whether that company is fit enough financially, or is either they don't pay their project, people are doing projects so that they according to the stage and according to maybe what the project contract is saying, because there's no way you can run dry out of finances when the project is still on. What is happening there? Are they paying people upfront? Why are the people going dry if the project still have to continue? So what type of payment agreement do they have with the project people that are doing projects themselves? There's a question there that must be asked and answered. But it's unfortunate that maybe the department is not ready to respond to that, because that's what they need to go and research or work on between the department and the DBSA. How do people get dry before the project is completed, having been appointed by DBSA already? So that's a very big question. The other question, Honorable Chair, is about project management from DBSA itself. I don't think the department has the responsibility then of making a project, of doing project management, but it is important that we understand the processes of project management, how are they being carried out by the DBSA. The last one is about public management, public or stakeholder analysis, which I think is the one that brings this issue of stoppage of programs from proceeding, because communities are still not informed about projects that are going to be carried out in the area where they are supposed to be empowered as well. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
DJ, I don't know how you do your assessments there in the department, but I'm sure you are responsible to assess your people, and in that assessment, for sure there would be flaws that to pick up before the portfolio committee can do that for you. Consequence management is very important. And some of the things that are raised here are not raised for the first time. They've been raised in this portfolio committee. One, I understand that there's specific standards in terms of how you formulate your reports from Treasury. However, in terms of the portfolio committee meeting, the reason why we asked you to do a summary of the report, it was for you to be straightforward when you are presenting to the portfolio committee. You've been doing that. I commend you. But it becomes very difficult. You know, as I'm sitting here, I was looking at the notes which I wrote by my hand when DBSA came to present to the portfolio committee. And in their presentation, chronologically so, they provided us with the deadlines of completion of some of the projects, because some projects did not require major construction. It was like fencing, this and that. Now, in this report on infrastructure, I want to propose that you put a column that will say general comment. Because in this report, there is 23 projects that are completed. 23 projects are completed. But there's this confusion of quarter one, quarter two progress in the midst of all this. And then in the middle of the columns, now you write progress, which I think progress terms are supposed to be at the end of the column, so that we are able to see that irrespective of what happened in quarter one, quarter two, progress says 100% was completed, meaning that the project is now closed and now you are waiting the report or you are preparing the report. But this report is very confusing, especially for some of us who are lazy readers. Because sometimes we wouldn't want to read the entire document, but to peruse the document. But I am spotting confusions here. And most of the projects which were presented to us by DBSA, they are completed. Next, that's one. So you need to work on that. And two, when we were in Northwest during the oversight, there was a certain character there called Major. And that Major mobilized community against us. And there was a mob, you know, waiting to kidnap us, you know, and close the hall on us and mobilize the entire community. And, you know, there was going to be some kind of a hostage if we were not brave enough. And main issues which were raised there
is the issue of consultation on projects which did not even belong to tourism, but agricultural land and whatever, whatever. And then since that experience, even DPSA, we did advise them to say, before you start this project of chalets here, have public participation so that this community is in a knowledge and understanding, and also commit that they will safeguard the infrastructure that you are bringing to this particular community. Now, failure to do that, we are going to experience what the DM is presenting to us here today, contrary to what Ms. Chetty has presented to the portfolio committee. Now, we need to advise DPSA to do that so that our projects are not stopped. And, you know, the DM, now, out of your head, you seamlessly presented these projects to the portfolio committee and provided us with information without looking at any report or any gadget that is in front of you. And you've got an official that tells us here, but I know I will have to go and check, you know, information. I don't have information. I really don't understand that. It's an unfortunate occurrence that has unfolded here in this meeting, because this thing of saying, no, we're going to write a response to the portfolio committee, it doesn't work. It doesn't help us to help you improve where you are supposed to improve. And perhaps DG will have to look into that. In our portfolio committee, I think we need to perhaps some of the questions around DPSA, DG won't have answers for all fairness. So we need to re-invite or invite DPSA again to the portfolio committee with the DG present and the minister and the deputy if they are available, to come and present to the portfolio committee on the projects which they presented to us on the 30th of June 2023, so that we are able to pose these questions as to project management, the kind of the contractors that they appoint to do all this work on behalf of the department and what have you. We need to speedily, before we rise, we need to have DPSA to the portfolio committee so that we are able to be on the same page in terms of whatever that is blurry before us as the portfolio committee. I'm going to allow you, DJ, and your team to respond to the questions which were raised by the portfolio committee members and the consequences on the contractors that ran out of funds and then decided to not complete all these projects. Perhaps DPSA will be able to respond to that. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. On the, maybe I should start where the Honorable Chairperson ended. On the funds that the DPSA manages on our behalf, our agreement is that they don't advance to any of the contractors. So as a result, it means the contractor does the work and then come back and invoice for that work. At one point in the Free the Fort Dome, and this is one example that was explained to me when I was doing my own meetings with the DBSA, they decided that because the contractor was struggling, they are going to advance a loan from their side of being a bank
so that that person could catch up. Unfortunately, the person still could not catch up, which means even that particular loan was now at risk on their side as a potential impairment. And on our side, that sort of mechanism is meant to protect the department's money, that we don't end up with a person who could run away with the money that we would have already given to DBSA. So that is how we protect the finances on the side of the department. However, when they realize from that due diligence that we have now reached a point where it is impossible or impractical for that particular contractor to be able to continue with the work, that's when they terminate those contracts. And once those contracts have been terminated, they have to go back and restart that entire process. And in the process, some of the issues that the DM has actually alluded to, then they start coming up again. Even if we had resolved them in the first round, then they come back in this particular second round, and we have got to make sure that facilitation is done. In the engagements that the minister also had with the DBSA, the emphasis was on development facilitation and making sure that that development facilitation is indeed taken to the community. Honorable Chairperson, in Limpopo, one project had written to us, and they, what had happened in that environment is that we had a chief who started with the project. The land is under the custodianship of that chief. The chief passed on, and there was somebody else new who's an acting chief. The acting chief and other stakeholders were of the view that the project needs to restart afresh. The project is at a very advanced stage, and it's a site that is even utilized in terms of bookings and so, and you know, it has to start completely afresh. So in that particular instance, what we did was to instruct DBSA to ensure that there is a development facilitator who goes to the community and who speaks to the people and ensures that everyone is exactly on the same page. So that was that, and the project is actually taking place. I think what we need to do from my side is to strengthen this mechanism of the actual oversight. But I'm also seeing some fruits starting to come out, Honorable Chairperson, from this sporadic unannounced site visits that are followed with written requests for particular explanations and so on. And you then see that the attention gets heightened a bit. But of course, I do want to indicate to the honorable members that even when we do that, we have to do it in a very careful manner, because it's not safe. It's not safe. So there are times when I would come back to the team and say, by the way, I went to see 1, 2, 3, and this is what I've picked up. Can I get a report on that? But I wouldn't say up front. In some instances, it's either going to be the DM or the minister who would know where I've gone only. So there are some of those issues that we have got to contend with. I fully agree, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members, that we have got to strive and ensure that we do complete transparency. Complete transparency. If it's broken, it's broken. If it isn't broken, then we should at least be able to demonstrate that these are the issues. The issues that the DM was talking about, and he really came in handy to really assist us with the issues that were happening in Mpumalanga. At one point, we are told everybody's in complete agreement, we must start the project. And then when the project is about to start, no. What agreement are you talking about? These people are giving our land back to government. They're giving it to this department. And their understanding, those who were contesting this view, until CM actually managed to convince them ultimately, their view was that if they hand over a site so that we can commence with the work and finalize it and give it back to them, this land, once it is handed over to us, they believe it's gone, it's been given to government, and it's never going to come back. So those are some of the dynamics, and of course there will be those within that particular community who will then be in a position to perpetuate that view, and then they will take advantage of those who may not have the same level of understanding with the others. The selection, I would say, Honorable Chairperson, in terms of the different places, I would also give to the DDG, but the selection in terms of the different places where we are supposed to be doing our campaign, I think we can improve in terms of doing that to make sure that there's alignment. Perhaps what we may want to also consider is the concentration of the hotspots that we've already identified, and then we could do more of those in those particular areas. Then there was an issue about Ngobe. I can confirm the security is that I was there and for me to pass through, if you go to the main gate, you're going to see my signature there, that I came at this time and so on, all those kinds of things. And there's always visibility within the site, so that we are happy with. The issue of the compromised procurement process. The report I got was that the bid evaluation committee wanted to clarify something that required some legal attention. Instead of them taking the matter to the bid adjudication committee, which is the final arbiter on all these matters, they went to the legal services colleagues, which means people that were not appointed to deal with the tender now know what is going on in that tender and are being coerced in a way to be able to also provide a view on whether this or that should happen. And the minute that actually happens, the whole thing is contaminated. So that led to it being abandoned and then moving forward, and then we went to the next process of re-advertising. We are hoping, Honorable Chairperson, and I believe we will be able to overcome this, with the databases that the Minister alluded to, and now that we've got access to those particular databases, including the databases of the indigents, because in some places you may find that you don't have sufficient numbers in the database, in the main database, within a specific locality, and then you go also to the indigenous database and add on to that. We believe that we will be able to recruit timely, and the issue of bringing on board project managers that are then going to manage their respective projects, those are issues that we will then deal with as we already have people on board. So we have to take very drastic decisions, e.g., let's bring them on board. Let them start doing what they are supposed to do. Let's find a mechanism within our own systems to be able to start paying them whilst we are getting on board those service providers. And when the service providers come on board, then we are going to then introduce the service providers to the cohorts of those tourism monitors. But what is really working for us with this database and the lessons that we've seen is that it continues to grow. At the time when we accessed it, if I'm not mistaken, it was between 2.5 million and 3 million, somewhere there. Now what I'm hearing is that it has grown to almost 4 million. So it is, and it covers the entire country, every district and so on. So we do believe that it will definitely assist us in fast-tracking things and how we deal with that. But also, we then drill down, because there will be issues like someone will be in that database and we want that person, for instance, to attend to Khayelitsha. But as we go deeper into this thing, we find this person lives somewhere in Strasbourg. That sort of thing. So we have to look at it and say, okay, what is the radius and all those kinds of things. But even there is some facilitation that we have to do with the leaders within that particular locality so that they understand what process are we following. Some of them might be used to different processes that have actually worked for that environment, so we have to make sure that that too is actually socialized. Then we've taken note. We will ask the DBSA, we will instruct the DBSA to prepare per individual project the details in the context of the discussion that took place here, so that it is clear as to what is the issue with each individual project. And by then, I'm sure some of the things that I've also asked them, they would also have already come back to us on those things. We will continue this site visit, inspections, and so on. And as we do that, we will also be looking at, there are some that when we get there, you do find that there is good work that is actually taking place. But there are others that are worrisome. I went to one where, I will not mention it to protect the contractor for this record. And this contractor was saying a previous project that he did, that is where he saw, for the very first time, a brand new AK-47. AK-47. Brand new. From a plastic bag. Wrapped properly. No. I'm saying, he was saying, it had nothing to do with our project. But this person said to me, next year, I'm leaving construction. From another site where he was visited.
Yeah.
And at that site, when he was visited, it was facilitation issues. So it does have a lot of impact on which happens in terms of our ability in some instances to be able to progress. But indeed, we have got to make sure that the communities, not using them as human shield, but the communities own that particular project. And they feel that they own it, and if somebody comes to them and say this or that, they say this is our project, we want the project. So those are some of the things that we definitely will try and make sure that we progress on.
Thank you. Just to wrap up on that one, Honorable Chairperson, we welcome the meeting with DBSA, and if the committee can facilitate a date for us, I think we have everybody in the same room, and you know, none of us will be a messenger on behalf of them. The point raised by Honourable April is so important, social facilitation. And I will briefly speak about the structural changes that we've made within the department and the progress that we are making. In terms of the law, but also in terms of a social facilitation policy that was adopted by Cabinet in November of 2020. With every infrastructure project, before you can start, even before the department start putting the specifications or the tender together, there must be social facilitation engaging with the community. From conception stage, that is where the weakness is, and that is where some of these mafias can come in. So social facilitation must be done. So what we need to make sure that even if DBSA is our implementing agent, that and part of our service level agreement with DBSA, we must write it in, that DBSA must facilitate social facilitation before the start of the project. DBSA themselves has got a social facilitation program also that's very good. In terms of the structural problem, Honourable Members, we did mention it last year.
The weakness has been that we have got infrastructure projects within tourism. The budget comes from tourism. But we've outsourced our responsibility to DBSA, and we have not put in the necessary oversight capacity for us to have oversight over DBSA. Because if you want to have oversight over DBSA, you then need both environment specialists. You can't just have an ordinary project manager dealing with DBSA. So what have we done since that time? We have reviewed the contract with DBSA, the SLA, the service level agreement. There is a list of projects that we have agreed that DBSA must conclude within a certain period. There are also a couple of projects whereby I just say they are in the ICU. There are about 9 of them. So we've got that list and we can share that list with the portfolio committee. But to get the capacity within the department, what we have also done is we've consulted with Infrastructure South Africa. Because Infrastructure South Africa is there to help all departments in government with infrastructure issues. And the advice we got for us to monitor and hold our implementing agents to account, because it's not only DBSA, there are other implementing agents too, we need to have the built environment skill within the department. So they have then suggested to us what you need in the department is a multidisciplinary built environment team. You need your QS, your architect, and all of that. Infrastructure South Africa facilitated a process where we are now. We have signed a memorandum of agreement with the IDC that the Department of Tourism will provide the budget or part of the budget for IDC to help us to procure the built environment skills and this multidisciplinary committee. And I think that agreement has been signed already, or not yet. Not yet. Then IDC will then go out and they will do the recruitment for us of this multidisciplinary team instead of us going via the DPSA and all of that. So there we are making progress, and like DG is saying, that we will be signing the contract with them. Because we must then have oversight and own our projects. They are also not properly trained project managers within our own tourism department. But that is where DBSA is coming in with that skill. So part of the review of our SLA with DBSA was to say to them, we are not going to give you the full budget up front. We're going to give you the money in tranches linked to a KPI. So when you show us that you have reached your first milestone, we will then transfer the other. And so we can send the review SLA that we've got with DBSA also to the committee. I have also met with the CEO of DBSA, and so really the relationship is going well between the department and DBSA. But like members are saying, DBSA is responsible for the procurement of these contractors. And it's not the department. But how do we, and I know even for DBSA it's very difficult, because sometimes what you see on paper and then what they finally deliver, but DBSA need to be very strict on the CIDB levels of contractors. Sometimes they take a contractor with a low CIDB level and give that contractor massive contracts. So I really just wanted to say, Chairperson, I welcome that meeting with the portfolio committee. And if we can have it as soon as possible, we will start doing some preparation. And again, I will also include the country's approved social facilitated policy that was approved by cabinet. If we can just do that right from the beginning, there is one successful social facilitation project that I'm working on with the Minister of Police that we want to do an example of where social facilitation has worked. And because I started it in my previous life, and Salvacop in Pretoria, we are building 5 government headquarters there. And there also the mafia moved in, and it was the community. You are so right, Honorable April, it was the community that chased them away. So thank you. I just wanted to do that, but we, with the help of DG, we are dealing with the structure within our department itself, including looking at the functions and role and functions of the DDG in infrastructure. But we must bring in that capacity to assist the DDG. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Thank you very much, Honourable Members and the Department Minister and Deputy Minister of Tourism. As a portfolio committee, we note all the commitments made before us by the Minister of Tourism, and we also appreciate the report presented before us today. However, with all the concerns that are put forward by the portfolio committee members, we are agreeing that DBSA must appear before the portfolio committee and account in all the projects and certain issues of concern that are raised by the portfolio committee today before we arrive. The DG is reporting to us that a certain intervention of a development facilitator had yielded results and the intervention bear fruits. And for me, DG and Minister, there is no much of a difference between a social facilitator and a development facilitator. It's just semantics. And with all these projects, history has taught us that when you enter into a community, you must have something called community liaison officer. That will be a link between the project and the community itself, so that you are able to mitigate and demystify the myth as mentioned by the DM, to say people will think that you are taking over their land and you will never give it back. But if you have a development facilitator and a community liaison officer, you will be able to mitigate that and get things right. The contract management structure, it is mentioned here, is something that you need to have as a department, so that you are able to look into all this, hoping that in all pieces of MOUs that you have reviewed, Minister, and signed with the DBSA, all these things were addressed. And the development facilitator approach, it should be an approach to all the projects that the DBSA is rolling out for the department, so that you are able to sort of avoid the delays. We are saying that the contractor's management structure is the one that will be able to assess whether the contractor has capacity to implement the project to to the finishing line, and that these projects that are not finished based on the capacity of the contractors would not be happening had we had some kind of a contract management structure. The projects which are completed in terms of the reports, they must be explicitly highlighted in your report so that you are able to measure progress. Otherwise, now we are unable to measure progress, not unless we're going to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the completed projects, and that it should not be happening. We are saying that extended public works program must be taken seriously because it is a program which was established to assist government in relieving poverty by creating employment, both temporary and permanent. And it is a vehicle to provide skills to the people that are unskilled and those who are not employable, and be able to assist them at least to focus and get opportunities out there through those skills development programs. And it cannot be correct to say there is underspending, mainly due to slow spending within EPWP program. It can never be accepted. It's wrong. You have to make sure that you change the status. And if you are unable to develop programs for EPWP, there's many capable honorable members here that can assist you to develop a program on that. You can call on their intervention. It's free of charge. That's why we are here. The Green Tourism Incentive Program, it has to be presented to the Portfolio Committee. We appreciate the data collection for the assessment of the state of publicly owned tourist attractions, so that we are not depending on SSA. This is what we emphasize in one of our meetings, that the department must have its own data and statistics and the central database on all the issues of tourism, instead of solemnly depending on the SSA report. As much as it's accurate, but as a department, you supposed to have that, and we are happy that you have started a process towards that direction. And honorable members have raised their concerns on Ms. Chetty being economical with the truth when presenting to the Portfolio Committee. I remember what happened to people who lied to the Portfolio Committee, because that thing is tantamount to perjury. So we don't want to go back there. It should not be happening. Ms. Chetty, you don't do that to the Portfolio Committee, because here you are under oath. Everything that you say here, it will be on hindsight. Everything you present to the Portfolio Committee, there's PMG here that quotes as verbatim on all that we say and submit in this Portfolio Committee. So we are a committee of Parliament, abide by the rules of Parliament. Now, once you come and you lie, and it's even embarrassing when your principal is in actual fact contravening in contravention of what you are raising, because you are lying. So it should not be happening, I think. It can't. You must respect your principles as well. Before perhaps you are unable to respect the members of the Portfolio Committee, but your principal you must respect. You can't lie in the presence of your principals, as if they are not doing their own oversight on the projects, or perhaps they wouldn't inform you that we went to that project and this project. Perhaps you are surprised in this portfolio committee that they know the truth. You should not do that again, and you must take it as a warning, because treasury in the meetings of the portfolio committee is not going to be allowed. It was never allowed before, and it is not going to be allowed because it is you who is committing an act of treasury. It's a warning, DJ. Officially, you are warned that you don't come to the portfolio committee and tell lies, because lies has short legs. And besides that, if you lie, you won't be able to assist the department to do better. Because the intention of the portfolio committees and the oversight responsibility by members of our parliament is to assist the department and the state-owned entities to improve. To improve and be better, because what we are talking about here is the taxpayers' money. Notwithstanding that we are also taxpayers ourselves, and we are paying more than everyone else in this country. So you should not do that again. Overall, honorable members will agree with me that in terms of progress, the department is continuing to progress, and their achievements are very visible. They need to improve here and there, and all the projects that are concluded, the 23 of them that are on this report, DJ, when you come back, we must not be found wanting when you are perusing the report. First, that we must just now read column by column for us to be able to establish that you have done so much progress on the projects and the infrastructure that you are busy with as the department. So that improvement. Ngobe is one of the projects which were visited by the portfolio committee. And before we could rise and say there's new administration, we would like to see much more progress on this particular project, as well as the Manyane Lodge, because those are the projects which will reflect as the portfolio committee. And yeah, so I think that's a summary of the meeting of today. And all these contractors that are delaying the projects, penalties must be imposed on them, or perhaps that is an issue that we are going to also discuss with DBSA, because they are the ones who are implementing on behalf of the department in most of these projects. So that's the end of our deliberations. Honorable members, Minister, Deputy Minister, and the department led by the DG. Our meeting is adjourned, and it's 10 to 1 now. At least we are adjourned on time. So I will release you, Minister, and your team, and thank you very much.